We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We are here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
So that, like...
Hello world, this is Slicko, your host. With me today for episode 1-1 of BaseNet Radio is Morbid, DMAD, and Silent Slade.
Hello.
Yeah. DMAD's up to one word, everybody. Yeah, well.
Anyway, continue.
Yes.
Chat room distracting.
Go on.
Do not look at chat.
I'm sure the listeners probably know this show by now. It's covers news, distribution of the week, sometimes, unlike this week. Unlike Echo's still at finals.
Yes, we should have done a distro.
How long?
But we've been too lazy.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking of going out and buying Tiger just for the distro of the week.
Yes, really? But then you realized that it costs money, and then you decided against it.
Well, I mean, I bought a new compressor gate limiter.
Yeah, but see that
quad.
That you'll actually use that in a couple years, as opposed to Tiger, which will be sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Actually, it's a Behringer, so I don't know if I'm going to be using it in a couple of years. But
point well taken.
Besides the point.
But new toys for the show are always fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, well, hopefully we'll be able to get pictures out of at least some of the studio setup soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Morbid was, I mean, me. I was walking around taking pictures, so we'll decide what we throw up in a little bit.
Yeah, well, those pictures might not develop considering what happened to the camera.
You're looking away from the mic. I hope you don't expect people to
hear
you.
What happened to the camera?
No. Well, the tripod fell over. Never mind.
It fell over?
It did?
Yeah.
No, it's just leaning up against the wall.
It kind of fell.
It was kind of standing originally.
DMAD was being clumsy.
This is third person day? Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, any reproduction or retransmission of this material is...
encouraged.
That's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slickzero.net. And unless anybody else has any further announcements...
Woo! Ooh, actually.
You do?
Actually, you know how we're trying to get you guys always involved?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We want you guys to make music for us.
Oh, yeah, well, I was going to explain that at the end of
the
show.
Oh, the end show?
Well, yeah, because that's when we're going to play the exit theme, which we usually don't have.
Yeah, so maybe...
Something new for you guys?
Yeah, maybe make some music for us.
Very sweet,
yeah,
very sweet.
We'll probably play it.
Yeah.
The thing we have on there is actually kind of hacker, or at least freaker oriented.
How long is that file?
It's about 3 minutes and 24 seconds.
Okay.
So as long as it's not like overly long.
Yeah, it's not like, well, it could be probably 5 minutes. I'd say try to keep it under 5 minutes if you're going to make your own music.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I got.
Or just find us hacker stuff.
Yeah.
Hacker music.
Because we're all hackers. We're super elite and stuff like that.
Yo, Omniscan, dude. Anyway.
Oh, dude.
You have no idea.
Anyway, let's get on to the first section. That would be email. And comments. Because we get both.
Well, you get both.
What was that?
Well, everyone gets the comments. They're on Hacker Media.
You get the email. Yeah. We find about them out about
actually,
them now.
Did we get any email? No, we only got comments, pretty much.
Oh, that sucks. Go on.
Yes, email us, guys. Come on, email us. You know the thing, basenet@slickzero.net. Come
on. Tell us how much we suck.
Yes,
we'll
please.
Love it.
We don't get much email that... We don't get any email.
Did we get a couple,
one?
We got a couple comments saying that the stream is too low this week.
From
that one episode.
Well, that's because we had trouble trying to understand you when you're on the cell phone.
Oh, Jesus, a cell phone. What do you want from me?
Slade has this unique voice where it just does not come through on a cell phone at all. I mean, it comes through, but when you try to interpret what he's saying, it's just doesn't work.
It sounds a lot more like, and then I went shh, toot, shh, and shh.
Half of my phone conversations with Slade on the phone is what?
He actually has a button, I think it's 7, programmed to just say what all the time.
Yeah.
Same thing as the sound card on his computer. But anyway.
Yeah.
Let's That's get what on. You need to do. Port sound card with brew. Binary runtime for wireless or something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, our first comment comes from D4V3. Says, hi, man, this hex numbering is confusing. Anyway, nice show. By the way, Hacker Media, why don't you... Oh, that has nothing to do with me. The show is so... Okay, yeah, thanks for the nice show comment. This hex numbering... the next comment actually says, hex is simple, base 16 instead of 10, where A, B, C, D, E, F is used for 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. This is episode 16. Yes, that was Caustig. At least I think that's how it's pronounced. C-A-U-S-T-I-Q?
Caustic.
Caustic. Caustic, okay.
As in, like, acid. But anyway.
Yes.
Bases, actually. But go on.
Then I replied to both of them. Look on the bright side. It could have been binary. That would make the last episode 10000.
Is that left to right or right to left?
Huh?
Are you reading that binary from right to left or left to right?
Left to right.
Wow.
I was going from most significant digit.
Because then someone would have caught us because we're doing it wrong. We have to read right from left.
Dude, yeah. You're supposed to read right from left. Right.
See,
to
we can't win no matter what we do on this show.
Yeah, really.
Really can't. Anyway.
People like to complain.
Yeah, I know.
Which is, I guess, why we have material for the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that would have to do with the next comment. Interesting segue. You called your episode number 10, and this is wrong. You should call your episode 16. You don't call it 10. 16 in hex is written as 10, which can be either read in decimal as 16 or by digits as 10. So that's why this week I said 11. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I don't know why I did...
We were going to say it correctly, but then we had to do a double take. And then on the second take, you just ran through it.
Yeah.
That's really what happened.
And I said, what was it? I said, I'll call it 10 to simplify, even though... I wasted more breath probably saying that, and I didn't say 10 for the rest of the show. I didn't say anything regarding the number of the show
It doesn't really matter.
It's more fun to go the long way to take the short way.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, that's true.
That's usually how it works out.
That's what hacking is. Anyhow, he corrects us on another thing. A full DVD is 9.7 gigs, and... 1 gigabit per second connection can only download this DVD in 9.7 gigabytes by 8 gigabyte divided by 1 gigabyte. Wait, I think 8 gigabit, I'm sorry. Divided by 1 gigabyte divided by 1 gigabit per second equals 77.6 seconds, which is over 1 minute and 17 seconds, not 10 seconds, which it can download 1.25 gigabytes.
That was way too much math for the radio. But anyway.
Yes, it was. But it's a correction. It has to get out there, you know?
It is a correction, but still, way too much math for the radio. You could have just simplified that. But anyhow.
And another correction, the Gmail FS chunks files by default to 5 megs.
5 megs.
Therefore, you can have any file size you want up to this limit in your inbox. That's interesting. I didn't know that the Gmail FS did that.
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to look into it.
That's pretty
but
cool.
But you're still limited as to, you know, the size of your box, so...
Oh, it's yeah, of course.
Slightly growing every day, but... It's up to, like, what, 21...
21?
2100.
2.1. Oh, yeah, 2100, yeah. I think somewhere around there. I haven't checked
in a
while.
It was, like, 2156 or something like that.
Yep.
In any case.
So then, Kizzle.
Oh, Kizzle.
He says, how about MD5 hashes for episode numbers?
Oh, heck no. Forget that.
Oh, come on. Okay, people, this is episode 70EFDF2EC9B086079795C442636BFF, B55FB.
I think he's turning red.
Come on, that's simple. That's so easy.
Yeah, and don't forget
you can't do that in your head.
Why can't we do SHA-1 then?
What is that?
I think with that we'd kill the first 15 minutes of the show just by saying the episode number.
That would be a filler.
Yes, yeah. It was in those days when we have no material.
We would need to extend the intro music. An extra 5 minutes. Seriously. We just hit it on endless loop. Fuck it.
Well, we would go to Distro of the Week at this point.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and not do that now.
Yeah, we'll not do that now because Echo has finals.
Once again, Echo ruined Christmas.
Yes, you ruined our Christmas, but unfortunately, since you're doing finals, you get off this week.
Yeah, but next week, if you don't have a distro, we gotta get your balls.
We go too easy on that guy.
Someone get the rubber band.
Yeah, you gotta get his balls.
Yeah. Anyway, anyway.
Good luck with those finals, Echo. We'll talk to you later.
See, I just read off an MD5 sum, and there goes the grammar for the rest of the night. Mm. Or language, whatever.
Look at the bright side. You read it correctly.
Well, I did go back. I said FF instead of 5-5 at one part.
Ah, fuck it. No one would have possibly tried.
And whatever. Yeah. Time for the news.
I love that intro.
You do?
I do.
Yeah. It's probably my favorite, too, next to...
It was the first one,
I like the
it?
Email one, too, because it has that pick slide in. Yeah.
Mm. Well, wasn't the news one our first little intro?
Yeah, I think it
was. First time's a charm.
Yeah.
It wasn't the first intro. Actually, Distro of the Week, for our first couple of shows, Distro of the Week was the only theme that we did have.
Oh, yes, I wasn't around for the first couple.
And we used it for everything.
You were there for the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Second, and then the fourth. I think.
Sorry. Didn't you mix a couple of the intros and sound really cool?
Yeah, a couple times.
You did that a couple times.
Remix what?
Play them both at the same time.
I'm not going to try that now because half the time, if you don't get it at the same time, it won't sound good at all. You'll get phasing issues and whatnot. But
yeah, I know.
I'm not going to go into the Sound Nazi shit now. Mm. Yes. News. Anybody got it?
Oh, yeah, you did the intro already. I forgot.
I did?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's why we were talking about
it. All I said was that begins this week's news section. I didn't do the rest of it. I don't really... No, I don't think I have to anymore. Send us email if you want to be a BaseNet correspondent. If you have news, anything of your interest.
Okay, well...
Interesting hack.
Just record. Send us all your crap so that we can put it on here. Because some people actually want to know about it. Now, let's start with... something that's been going on for a couple weeks. Microsoft released some pictures of Longhorn about a week and a half or so, and they were really cutting down on any websites that were posting the pictures up. So I was looking around, and I finally got around to getting one. If anyone wants to check it out, it should hopefully still be up at tinyurl.com/94ej2. So that's a short version because the main site is just a lot longer.
Now, a little slower, please.
You want me to try and read that again?
Yes, please.
It's tinyurl.com.
Slower.
Slash.
So people could actually.
Tinyurl.
.com.
C-O-M.
Let me stop. /94EJ2.
Thank you.
94EJ2.
Yeah, that's the important part. The tiny URL part is easy.
So what do they got there that makes this Longhorn thing so special and time-consuming?
Absolutely nothing important, because when you go there, you'll see that it's just a reskinned version of XP with a fancy background.
Windows Server 2003,
A couple little eye candy things added, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I don't even see the eye candy. Well, I see more of the same reprocessed junk.
It's little smoothings out of the... They smooth it out a little. Just a couple things like
they
that.
They chromed it a little.
It has a smooth...
Come on, the green taskbar was hideous. They had to do something about that.
I mean, there are a couple things that are improvements. Yeah. On a graphical end...
Well, it looks smooth like Windows Windows Server.
You're still getting the error message left and right here. I see a couple of those.
You still have the garbage file.
That's what the Windows disks are. You didn't know that? They're garbage files. Okay.
I mean, their menu still looks pretty plain and drab.
I hate that new screen. I hate that new start menu.
That's why you just set it back to classic.
Yeah, exactly.
The new start menu kind of actually looks worse than the older ones.
I don't know how they managed to do that.
They've fancied up their hard drives a little bit, the way they look. Now you have a little Windows logo on your main Windows partition.
Too much.
On top of the little drive letter. And it gives you a little bar left and right. You can see this on the site. It shows how much space is left on the hard drive. Which is nice. And it starts getting red when the drive is full.
I hear people talking.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, remember when we set up these mics, we made it so you could lean back and go forward.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you,
Slick. Well,
I thought you were, like, talking about us having a different side conversation while you're talking about
that. No, I heard you guys on
well,
the...
Well, okay. Yeah. Not to be rude, I was talking about now. A certain utility. I'm sorry.
What
Please
utility?
Don't kill me.
Go ahead, say it.
No, we were talking about a certain Windows utility. It's pretty old, which tweaks pretty
That's
much the start menu.
I don't think he's talking about
that. The start button can be non-existent in Windows.
I
don't need it to actually.
I'm going to try to find Tweak UI again.
Tweak UI was nice, but there are some other things you can use that are like you can run Blackbox, I believe, on Windows.
Yeah,
as opposed
I've done
to,
that.
Yeah, it's one option. You can run other different versions of.
You could run Program Manager.
I didn't know they.
Frogman was fine.
I didn't know they had Tweak UI for XP. This is Microsoft Parrot Toys for Windows XP, and they have Tweak UI there. I thought they killed it with 98.
No, they tried to.
Tweak UI is for XP.
And you
it's for all
look
of
for
them.
Tweak XP also. That's
and
another.
One. Well, I have 2,000 on here.
You know what I'm upset about though?
Mm-hmm.
They did all like the customization like programs, probably not by Microsoft, but no, they definitely weren't by Microsoft. Where you could change what like the start button says and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
After I was already into modding it and like.
Yeah,
going
exactly. Right.
In the hex
editor.
Went
through all the hard way.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of the things that were released with the Tweak UI tools, I already knew how to do. So it was kind of like...
Yeah.
I went to get it for
Why didn't I know about you before?
It's like half the stuff's in MSConfig.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the other, and
I
the rest,
remember
and,
this stuff.
And the rest is in the registry.
What scares me is I remember this stuff.
Yeah, and it's not that hard.
No, you know why it's not hard to remember it? Because those machines are constantly breaking.
So
and you're constantly
going
working
back
on
there and fixing them.
Other people's, yeah.
Well, here's another thing to fix later on. It's their new Windows FS file system, and then the way you can search for files.
And
they have what?
Anyway.
Where is it? What kind of file? What type of file is it? Which drive is it? What name is it in? Under whatever, and it looks like it just gives your files a lot more different tags and characteristics. So you can search for them in different ways.
So pretty much it's just a journaling file system?
Yeah. Sounds familiar?
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
Didn't Apple just release something like that?
Didn't.
Like with OS X?
Yeah.
Well, no, wait. Which version of OS X started coming with HFS Plus?
I don't know. You're the Mac dude here.
Well, I just got a Mac like last year or so.
Exactly.
And I was just messing around with it. I don't know too much. About like what the legacy and whatnot.
Well, I don't know. They have had journaling for a while now. It's not the first operating system with journaling.
No. Yeah, it's
it's. I don't know. They're trying to steal it from the Mac a little bit. They're obviously trying to be
search.
More graphical. But I mean, comparing this to Mac OS anything, and comparing it to E17 or 16 even.
Ooh, I want E17.
E17 is. Sweet.
Oh man.
This is. Definitely, like, miles down the road behind. Nowhere near that kind of level of, you know, intensity. I mean, especially when you compare it to what Looking Glass is supposed to look like, this is way behind.
Yeah, well, Looking Glass, I, along with quite a few people with comments I read, don't see the point of it.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's like, okay, so you got all these pretty things that you could put out of the way and whatnot, but you could do the same thing with Minimize.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like... Why do all these fancy effects when you don't need them?
Because people are attracted to shiny, pretty things. You know, the whole dangling the key in front of a baby. I think I use that analogy a lot. Dangling the keys in front of the baby to keep them occupied.
Yeah.
People like shiny, pretty things.
And they're kind of scared of you when you start running back to text. But literally, I mean, like... People see me on the subway with their laptop running, you know, commands in text mode.
Right.
They're like, what the hell?
They're like, he's hacking the subway.
He's hacking Gibson? The subway system.
Next thing you know, the traffic lights are going to start blinking.
Yep.
Oh, no. I got actually news on the New York City subway.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you do too?
As do I.
Oh, which, you go first.
Same exact thing, probably.
You first, and I'll tell you if it is.
Let me find out where I put it.
Okay, so I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first. Wait, this is on the, the Metro, the AirPath announces wireless Metro platform.
That's different. Go on.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
It might be a Philadelphia thing, actually.
But yeah, it doesn't sound like Metro's.
Yeah. Well, at the digital, the thing, you just load the damn thing already. This is on eWeek, which Slade doesn't exactly like.
No.
What the hell is happening? My computer's having a conniption fit.
You know what? Last week, what operating system did you have on your computer?
Yeah, but then that Firefox didn't work right, actually.
Okay.
It's still better than this. Okay, so here we go. AirPath is rolling out a new host platform for metro-scale broadband wireless development. Platform called blah, blah, blah. Roamboss Metro provides a carrier-class open operational support system. Blah, blah, blah. Help mobile professionals easily connect and reconcile billing charges. Reconcile as they move from one metro area to another. It's happening. The product is one of several expected to be announced at the Digital Cities Conference in Philadelphia, where vendors and advocates of municipal Wi-Fi projects are meeting. Officials from Massachusetts places and all other different stuff are meeting there. There you go.
Yow, okay.
Nice.
All right. Well, my story was on a totally different level, and it's something I've been saying for quite a while now. If anyone rides the New York City subway, you know you're used to doing this. You can turn it into even a game. Who's wearing the white earbuds?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, like in every subway car, there's somebody wearing an iPod earphones in their head, either with a mini, a shuffle, or something.
Right.
So, of course, there's newsflash, crime on New York City subways.
Wow.
Well, we mentioned this before. People are jacking other people for their iPod and cell phones and other, you know, devices.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I've never actually tried the earbuds. I don't know what the frequency range is, mm-hmm. how colored they are or anything, but I don't think they would be as good as a decent pair of, like, cans or something.
Right. Because they're so small. And yeah. Well, they might be good. I don't know.
Who knows?
But the one thing that they are is bright and obvious.
Right.
And send that's not iPod. Smart. Especially 3 in the morning on the New York City subway or something. You're going to get jumped for it. It's just obvious.
And, welcome to New York, fuckers.
Well, I mean, the news story I'm reading here, it was on newsfactor.com, not a site I commonly go to. And it mentioned that crime robberies have jumped 20% since the release of the iPod on New York City subway. Mostly young kids stealing other young kids' iPods because they run for like $500 and you can't afford that. So you're going to take it from someone else and then someone's going to take it from you and it's going to go on and on.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. And then like on websites like iPod themselves, devotees are saying, you know, it's better than just ditch the earbuds and get your own cheaper set of headphones. To make yourself obviously.
I don't even find those comfortable.
They don't look right either. They're bright white.
They're not comfortable.
I mean, you put them in your ear and they come back out with earwax and it's obvious, you know? That's not a good idea.
They're unique. You don't see a lot of white headphones.
I don't know. I don't get the point of that. It just makes it. It's just more advertising saying that you have an iPod.
Pretty much.
Anyway, you have an iPod. You're listening to a lossy format anyway, so why not have some lossy headphones to go with it?
Yeah.
You're not listening to the best quality you can get.
And don't forget you have the lossy MP3 player because someone's going to rip it from your hands and run away with it.
Yeah.
In other words, you lost it. But
I was talking lossy.
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
As in you lose sound quality, but in any case.
Lousy?
Lousy is good too.
Right. Anyway.
Your turn.
Yeah. Rapid VoIP, voice over IP, growth threatens quality of service.
That's
who
true.
Who would have thunk it? I mean, really, if you have this technology where it devotes so much bandwidth for each user of it, if you don't have all the bandwidth in the world, you're going to have to cut back on the quality of it to... Mm-hmm. Get more users on there.
Plus, most ISPs are launching their own VoIP services, and some, like Cablevision, for example, are tagging the packets of their own so that they get better priority than other VoIP services packets of the same kind. So,
interesting.
In effect, you know, you're killing quality on others while improving your own.
Well, they're not really killing the quality of the others, but they're... Oh, really?
Yeah.
So going through their servers, it actually delays?
It'll delay, and the reason for it is... when you send traffic over the... Over, let's say, Cablevision. I'm using them as an example because I know they do it. They tag their VoIP packets first. So, what used to happen was, any packet comes through, you get... best possible service, and then you get sent off to the cloud.
Right.
Now, in this scenario, your packet and what is they call their optimum voice packet come in at the same time. Optimum voice packet gets priority. Now all the other ones are pushed back. Less quality of service. It's still the same, you know, best possible service they can give you. But since they're tagging theirs first, their packets will come first, pushing yours back. Yeah, you're going to get a loss of quality.
That, not really a loss of quality. It's just
think of it on a massive scale. Now think of a bottleneck somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, on a bottleneck, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. What used to get through normally is now being pushed to the end of the line.
Okay.
Along with, you know, people ping flooding and DOS attacks and BitTorrent downloads. And I mean, you're pretty much at the end of the line.
Yeah. You know, that goes on Optimum Online.
Yeah, a lot, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and think about it. Like, you know, you're now competing with someone who your phone service is competing with someone playing Halo.
That's true.
Damn right, that has precedence.
And if he doesn't get that up to,
you don't have 120 or less ping, it's hell, man. Yeah. In any case, yeah, that's what's going on, and this is going to continue to get worse as more people get void, as more people get tagged packets on the same line.
Well, what do you expect?
And it's totally legal, too, because it's your wiring, it's your lines, and there's no law against making your service better, so you're allowed to tag your packets and make your service work faster than someone else's.
Right.
Anyway, I'm ranting at this point. I should shut up.
Okay.
Someone else go on.
Oh, okay.
We need more of ranting, damn it.
Yeah, but I just totally blew up Cablevision's spot, so...
Eh, whatever.
Dude, nobody's special enough to label their packets. Jesus.
They do.
I know they do. They're not special. Okay. Their quality of service just blows. It's almost practically non-existent. The end.
That's most cable companies, sadly.
You have Cablevision, D-Man?
I have...
Time Whore Eater, I think.
I have Time Whore Eater.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then
it's just as bad.
Really? Yeah.
Did you have Cablevision before?
Like, no. Before years back.
Well, okay. I was looking through my stuff trying to figure out a segue for this.
Okay.
Talking about the cable companies. Well, Time Warner's missing. employee information for 600,000 employees.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. How do you just misplace data for 600,000? Personal information for 600,000 current and former Time Warner employees has been lost, the company announced on Monday. Potentially set in the state for one of the largest cases yet of identity theft. Blah, blah, blah.
Is it really identity theft, or is it more of a case of...
setting the stage for it, so it's a possibility, I guess, they're thinking.
Are you sure they didn't just leave it in the back room somewhere? Because... It's that kind of company.
Well, I remember we talked about this a little earlier, but I guess a little bit ago. It's going farther. So it happened on the 22nd of March.
That's a while back.
The Iron Mountain storage company was transporting the tapes, and they got lost while in transit, which usually means they fell off the back of the truck. stuff like that.
You sure that someone didn't sit on a tape by accident? They just threw it out and made pretend that nothing ever happened. They don't know.
I don't know.
Well, not company secrets.
They waited for a month before. Time Warner waited a month before notifying current and past employees that their personal information may be compromised. We didn't want to compromise the investigation. They claimed
they already compromised all your information.
So. Yeah, I know. So they didn't want.
They actually told their employees, huh? That's kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, so...
It's not like T-Mobile who didn't tell anyone.
They say...
Ask your buddy. He works for there, right?
Yeah, I know.
Is
he online now?
I'm gonna go check.
Yeah.
So they set up a 800 number to answer for the past and current employees to answer questions and provide free credit monitoring for a year.
Wow.
A few days ago, the company began the process of encrypting its data.
That's good.
Wow.
Kind of late, though.
Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't you think this is... You get your data. Your data doesn't stay in one place. It's being transported by a third party. Don't you think you would automatically it'd be a natural thing to just take precautions in case something happened anyway. They have to wait for the, like, it to, like, to actually happen.
Yeah, it I mean, security on these big, huge corporations isn't really much of a priority. It's all about, you know, the bottom line at the end of the day. Not about their employees. I'm pretty sure that the president's personal information is highly encrypted.
Yeah.
Nah, man, he don't send no emails because he don't want his stuff to get read.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to remember what the name of the president for Time Warner is. Like, Zarkark, I think it is? No. Some weirdo.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. What else you got?
What else I got?
Because I know you got like 20,000 tabs open over there.
No tabs this time. I'm just going through my RSS reader.
Oh, you have an RSS feed now.
Yeah, okay, nice. How about this one? Let's find out what it says. iTunes joins playlist of apps hacker used to attack systems.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. Okay. Apple Computer's popular music player application, blah, blah, has joined the list of applications hackers used to attack systems to get sensitive personal information, such as credit card numbers, and a security company warned.
Hackers or script kiddies? Which one are you looking for?
Well, they say hackers.
Yeah.
Because that's what they always say.
Yeah, I know. I don't like the way they say it.
I know, but it's what they always use. The SANS Institute found that in the first 3 months of the year, online criminals have expanded beyond Microsoft's Windows OS and Internet Explorer, and now include new programs as part of their portfolio. Here's a list. In addition to iTunes, other music playing apps, including Real Players, Real Networks, Real Players, and NullSource Winamp. There are reports Apple plans to tighten up iTunes security in an upcoming version, and amid hacks from rivals, including Real Networks and others, that allow more flexibility than Apple would. Let's see. Does it say what they're willing to do to tighten up security? I'll tell you in a second. Coming into new version of iTunes Jukebox software. New version will pack a maintenance and security update and may also contain added support for a new wave of international music stores. Additionally, companies, no. It doesn't actually tell you what they're going to do. It just says they're going to do something. How nice of them.
So nice of them.
Yes, it is. Okay, and
That's nice. It's another security vulnerability. You don't worry about just your phone. Now you have to worry about your iTunes.
And, you know, we all know how Mozilla reached 50 million downloads during the week. I mean, Firefox reached 50 million.
50 million.
Downloads.
What percentage of the browser market is that now?
That is 8.69% of the global usage share.
Wow.
Last year, it was, I think, 2%. And they said it wouldn't actually get to a decent chunk for, well, at least 5 years.
Yeah.
At least 5 to 10 years, they said it wouldn't get, like, close to 10.
Well, I've been pimping it as much as humanly possible.
Oh, yeah.
So. Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get to reach a good bunch amount of people, considering what
you
I do.
You want
to
hear something strange, though?
Hmm?
I know somebody who I work with, who he's having all these problems, gets all this spyware constantly and whatnot. I'm like, oh, just use Firefox. I mean, you won't get all those pop-ups for one thing, mm-hmm. or at least not nearly as many.
Any?
That's what.
Well, sneaking through.
They're starting to sneak through.
I don't know.
Very
with
slowly.
With AdBlock and FlashBlock?
Well, where's FlashBlock? Oh yeah, that's that
Flash
one you said last
awesome,
week.
Awesome. Yeah.
Send the link to me again.
That cleans up a lot of the ones that sneak through AdBlock. I'll send it to you later.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I suggested he use Firefox. He's like, nah. And I'm like, oh, why not? I refuse to.
Why?
That's the reason.
No reason.
Sort of like what Bush voting for Bush. Why? I don't know.
Wait, did you ever, like, approach him as to why he refuses to use it?
That's what he's...
They can't explain
it. I didn't bother, because I already tried switching him a few times. I'm giving up.
It's probably, like...
It's an evil hacker.
They're very comfortable with IE. They don't want to try something new.
Well, I'd just be interested in finding out his actual legitimate reason for saying, I refuse to. It's kind of the closed-mindedness, I guess.
So. Yeah.
Some people just refuse to switch to something else because, one, they're used to it. Two, they're afraid of learning something new. And what's the third one?
But it's a browser.
They're afraid it's just going to turn into the same thing, which is a possibility. Firefox isn't
immaculate.
I'm sure it's ways into it.
But it's a browser. There's not much to learn. I understand the fact of it turning into the same thing, because once it gets larger and larger share, it's going to be more of a target.
It's more powerful in the way. You can add your own extensions to it, so... which is good. I mean, it's not like you're missing out. If he's still running Windows, he can have right-click open in IE for, like,
also,
any...
Also, it's not like you can get rid of Internet Explorer.
Oh, you can,
well,
yeah.
I want to, but... I'm too lazy
to. Go to Start, Control Panel... add remove Windows programs.
But then it will just bump you down to the lowest like version.
Huh? No, you can get rid of it.
Doesn't just bump you down.
No, it won't. You can get rid of it. I
remember older versions, it wouldn't actually let you get rid of it. It would just bump it down to like IE3.
I've been able to remove it in a Windows box before, just for the hell of doing it.
Add remove Windows components?
Add remove Windows components and then take out anything that has to do with Internet Explorer. I mean, you might still have Explorer.exe, but that's part of the operating system. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, like you said, it's kind of weird the stuff you remember. Anyway.
Yeah.
What else you got this week?
New computer powered by Power Over Ethernet.
Ooh?
Power Over Ethernet. It's
cool.
A computer that's powered by that.
How much does that need to suck up just to run?
The computer only requires 12 watts, lower than the upper limit of 15.4 watts that Power Over Ethernet can supply.
12 watts.
That's pretty
very
good.
Low.
I mean,
you could power a whole network.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You're running very minimal computer here, though. You're not talking about like a powerful graphical system.
No, definitely not.
You're talking like an end-user window with terminal kind of thing.
Probably it's more or less something like that, more PDA based, because I mean my PowerBook takes up what, like 80-75 watts, so
how much does Power Over Ethernet run,
or is it 65 watts? I don't remember.
That's
low. Power Over Ethernet is said 15.4 goes up to, and they made one that works on 12.
Okay, so yeah, you can run, if you can get like a hub and then run power to each particular terminal, that would work. That's kind of cool. Anyway,
yeah.
I'm knocking you off the story. Continue.
Well, it says here, before now, power via network system has only been used for devices such as wireless access points, CCTV cameras, and VoIP internet telephone headsets. So that's interesting bit there, but I didn't even know it was used for that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's definitely cool stuff. It's sort of turning a dumb terminal over Ethernet is the same way we use analog phones. But in any case... Oh, lovely.
I hate you, Windows.
Yeah, I was wondering...
This is what you get.
Morbid's over there having a fit, like flipping off his laptop with both hands and just like shaking them at him like he's ready to like punch the thing out.
And of course, a fatal exception has occurred.
No. I'm removing Internet Explorer and it doesn't give me any options. Just the one button there is to restart.
That's it?
Restart. No button. No X.
Well, you have your new save to the aggregator, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to ignore it for now.
Wow.
Okay.
God. Look at that. I'm blowing up here. This is crazy. Go on.
Who's calling you?
Everybody, it seems.
Wow. The popular one.
They know I'm off and they freaking go crazy.
You're the popular guy, aren't you now?
No, I'm the quiet one because I keep hitting the silent button. Go on.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
We at Power Over Ethernet. That's what we at. Before the Windows error happened.
Well, apparently it has a touchscreen, the computer.
Ooh, pretty.
Really?
For
a touchscreen?
And DSP Design, who produced it, expects it to be used in kiosks, trade shows, and other places where laying power cables would...
be kind of inconvenient.
Yeah. But...
That's cool. Well, you can use it in an office setting for like a simple tasks. You can run it to like the other room and just, you know, do quick things and that's it.
Yeah, just like as a dummy terminal.
Right.
Yeah.
I see this being used in cafeterias to order your food.
Yeah,
stuff
that'd
like that.
Be cool.
Instead of my old school had the old school happy looking iMacs as to order the food.
Oh, the ones that actually looked like apples.
Yeah. They have touchscreen ones of them, which they use to for ordering the food.
Touchscreen apples?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen something similar in my grocery store in my neighborhood, and we're talking the ghetto, where you can order your phone cards.
I like how you said that. And we're talking the ghetto.
Yeah, it's still, I'm amazed by, like, the ghetto grocery store has a touchscreen pad where you can order phone cards off of.
Okay.
It's technology's invaded all forms of the place. I remember back in the day when they wouldn't even accept food stamps there. Now they're, like, taking everything. Yeah, they wouldn't even accept food stamps at the grocery store. Anyway, that's talking too much.
Okay, let's see.
Now that you're rebooted or not?
No, I didn't hit the button yet. I just kind of told it to go away. What do we got here?
What do you got there?
Apple is being sued again.
Again?
Yep. For over
they're still being sued by Apple.
Exactly. That's why they're being sued. over their Tiger name. Tiger Direct is kind of pissed that they're using the name Tiger because they think it will mislead customers.
What?
Lawsuit claims Apple's use of the word Tiger will mislead customers. I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
No, yeah, probably not.
Tiger and Tiger Direct are two completely different things.
Yeah,
Tiger Direct is one word.
Ah.
And
because it's
capital
.com, right?
Yes, TigerDirect.com. Well, right. Actually, no, they have Tiger Direct Inc. I'm wrong. Tiger Direct Inc. The use Tiger will mislead customers. It's not going to go anywhere.
Well, really? I think there should be a lawsuit filed by this animal that lives in the, you know, Africa.
The wild? It's like...
Yeah, wild of Africa and other countries that, you know, is going to sue Tiger Direct now for infringing on its copyright of its own species. I don't know. What the fuck? Get over it. I don't really get some of these companies sometimes with their ridiculous, like, copyright infringement laws. What the fuck was that?
Wow, this phone's vibrate is crazy. Yeah, I switched phones for
beep me
one
page
time.
Me again. So.
Wow. Lower this time. Stop.
Jesus. Wow.
Okay, moving on. What else do we have?
That was sitting right next to the microphone.
What do you have, D-Man? Come on, give us something. You gotta have something going on this
week. Tiger Unleashed. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just been omni-scanned.
We have?
By what's his name?
Ghostless?
Yeah.
Ghostless.
Yeah, that's right. You have to. He's got like 100 caps in that, so you gotta squeeze them in first.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you yell the ghost list out. And then less.
Alright, because it's.
Something like that.
Cap I wonder sex? If it. Ask him since he's in there. Is it.
He ghost, wants the ghost.
Ghostless?
Yell.
Or is it. Oh, you did ask him already?
Yeah, he wants the ghost.
He wants us
out.
To yell out ghost and quietly say
less. Ghostless.
There you go. He's had his name said so many times, we're never saying it again. He's now GL.
Oh, GL, man, I guess I'll have to take that off my notes to shout him out.
You just shouted him out like 18 times right there.
So just trying to figure out the name, yeah.
No, we're just trying to figure out the how to literally shout him out, since that's how it's...
You gotta shout him twice.
Yeah.
Okay, KKK. KKK.
Wow,
I'm sorry.
It's okay, I'm Jewish.
I'm half Jewish also.
I can't find my white hat. I'm sorry.
Okay, so,
this is
once
the Puerto
again,
Rican to a black man.
Shut up. Once again, Google's doing more stuff.
Google.
More stuff. They're filing a patent for technology that ranks news stories based on quality and not just date and relevance. And then Yahoo's trying to keep up by announcing My Web Beta, which allows you to search the web your way. How is it your way?
Anyway, speaking of Google...
There we go.
If you've been to Google Maps recently, you know all the cool things that can do.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I found a little something out from a buddy of mine I worked with. He was showing me on the computer... Yeah, check this out. It's, you know those Air Force bases that they say don't exist, but you think do? The satellite images aren't... The satellites that take those pictures aren't told of their coordinates where they are if... They even do exist.
So unfortunately.
So they're able to take pictures.
Right.
And, you know, right over, like, in the middle of the desert in Nevada, there's some interesting Air Force base.
Really?
Really?
There are nice long runway skid marks and everything.
Do you know the,
Oh, man, I should...
What do you type in Area 51 and it goes there?
No. Just get really. I'm able it's to get
kinda,
there just it, by the landmarks.
It's kind of difficult to do. We can sort of describe it. You got to go using regular Google Maps without going to satellite imagery. Go over to Nevada, zoom in a little bit. You should see a gray area signifying like the desert locations.
It's kind of like oval shaped, a little squarish around parts.
On the top left hand side, zoom in to about what?
Like the topish
five from the top or something.
The topish left part of the oval.
Right.
Zoom in so that's like full.
Right.
Then start zooming in a few more times. Switch it to satellite mode at that point.
And you'll start seeing landmarks of.
You'll see like these white like dots. Random white spots.
Well, actually,
what's that?
Actually, the Army has admitted the fact that they do have training there in the desert. They actually have a plot of land which they train on, which is larger than the state of Rhode Island.
Yeah, well,
which they actually do live battles in.
That's probably part of it.
Yep.
Well, definitely check it out, because once you, if you want to look for it, look for these white rock formations that look sort of like teardrops moving down.
Right.
Northwest of that, in like a reddish tinted area, you should see like airport landing strips, some planes if you zoom in close enough.
Yeah.
And if you go west a little more, you should see like a blue area with some more buildings, which. Actually, the satellite images don't let you zoom in too much on, which means there's enough of shading
that was
going
like
on.
20 miles to the...
That's 20 miles west. Well, they said it was a large plot of land.
So it's probably...
It's most likely part of it. Definitely check it out.
Okay, and, where
you know
am
what?
I looking?
Explore the neighborhood. There's probably more stuff on there we haven't seen yet.
Oh, that
we've
large...
We've been looking around, but we can't... Yeah, that large...
That large gray right spot there. By the large greenish spot?
I could show you after the show more.
Now,
and if you guys want, I will be posting up some images on my site and linking them onto, you know, the BaseNet page in a few days so we can sort of see, you know, what I'm talking about.
Awesome. You are super pimp, dude.
Right. In any case, let's move on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on to something about Trojan attack exploits Google typos. Speaking of the devil, hackers have set up malicious websites designed to infect the Windows boxes of surfers who mistype the name of popular search engine Google.com. If a user opens one of the malicious websites, just such as Googly.com, or Google, like, accidentally hitting the K hitting the
count?
L. What was that?
Does Google count?
I don't know. His PC box may be hijacked with malware, including Trojan downloaders, backdoors, and spyware. Finnish antivirus firm F-Secure reports that their site launches multiple pop-up windows that lead to other harboring malicious scripts. These scripts exploit a variety of vulnerabilities to automatically download code onto vulnerable boxes. Users are advised to keep their boxes, their browser patched up to date and to practice touch typing in order to avoid infection. Well, if you're sitting at a computer and you don't learn touch typing after a while anyway, if you're around enough, then... Oh, well, I still have to look at the keyboard. I'm not ashamed to admit. Anyway, common sense should tell you not to visit google.com, particularly if you are running Windows on your PC. So, morbid for now until you reinstall some kind of Nix on there. Bad.
Well, this was an attempt because I was too lazy to... figure out how to get the digital camera working on the Linux box, but now that free digital camera I got is a complete and utter piece of crap.
It is the Suxor.
So now that's that. I can put like Arch back on here or something.
Very fun.
Please
very
do
fun.
So quickly. Let's go there.
What the spots. Green random green spots?
Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to.
Random green spot?
Okay, those who really can't see what we're doing.
They're looking. They're trying to look for Area 51 now.
I'm trying to help him out. But
now, like, Slick, you want to move on to something else? You got to...
You guys go on. I'm almost done.
Yeah, because...
Well, this has made headlines in many more places than Slashdot. Pope domain donated to charity.
Wow. The Pope had a domain?
Well, there is. A computer book author who registered PopeBenedictXVI.com internet address days before Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger was elected to the position has donated the address to a New York charity. Florida-based Roger Cadden had donated the domain to Modest Needs, a charity dedicated to assisting low-income families cover unexpected expenses. You know, I knew after reading that MD5 song, I was just going to fuck myself for the rest of the night. Anyway, I was...
It's just a little scary.
Yeah.
All this jazz. Hmm? All
this anyway, jazz. That's just kind of interesting. I know the Pope's been making big news, so why not have it here?
Yes.
Yeah, all the crappy news.
Damn targets. Slade, you want to get back to your seat? We kind of ran out of news.
Oh, no, news.
No, I still got some.
Oh, okay, go for it.
I'll show him later.
I'll find it on my better computer.
That fucking tripod hurt. Okay.
Okay, how about this?
Tripping over.
Going kind of hardware way here. 2.5-inch hard drives.
2.5-inch hard drives. Yes, I have one in my laptop.
Well, they're trying to do that more for everything.
Everything?
Yes.
You mean like home PCs too?
Yeah. In an effort to pump up data density and drop power consumption and heat, major hard disk manufacturers are pushing forward with 2.5-inch disk drives for server applications. The 2.5-inch 15,000 RPM drives.
15,000 RPM?
Yeah, by Fujitsu, something with the HI that got cut off.
But these are like still... What format are we talking about? We're talking
Hitachi,
SCSI,
Seagate.
Are we talking IDE, SATA?
Don't go that much detail into it here.
Damn, because
there's
1500 is pretty damn fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fujitsu, Hitachi, and Seagate, and will also be that's the company that's making them. They'll be used by HP in their upcoming ProLiant server and storage products.
Yay.
Uncovering 10,000 RPM hard drives expected to be available in their servers by mid-year, and stuff just came up that's like thingies. I don't know.
Stuff and crap.
Yeah, the page just randomly changed.
Yay good. For Windows!
You gotta get off that crap right now.
There's a link.
I think it's just a touchpad.
Maybe.
It goes nuts sometimes for me too.
I know my touchpad's getting worn, so sometimes it just like jumps randomly. That's annoying.
Smaller drives, let's see if they say anything about it. What are you looking for? In the early 90s, it translated from 5.25 to 3.5-inch hard disk drives, and the next step is for the next 10 years. Also in 2006, they expect these to be out. Soon, by mid-year for this year, we expect to see the 2.5-inch 10,000 RPM drives. Next year, we'll bring the 15,000 RPM drives. SCSI interfaces at the same...
Not SCSI, okay.
At the same as HP's transitioning its product line to 2.5-inch, it also will migrate from traditional parallel SCSI interfaces to serial-attached SCSI, or SAS.
Oh,
interfaces.
Serial-attached SCSI?
Yes, serial-attached SCSI.
Interesting.
Faces. He said customers have been loud and clear that they want to make this transition at one time. They want to move to the small form drives and the SAS at the same time rather than having two separate.
Well, yeah, that's logical.
Transitions. Yes, save money. Over the next year, the new drives and SAS interface will be offered as an option for the ProLiant line of servers, and then next year the new technology will be factory installed. So. By 06, it'll be an option. By 07, it'll be default. It'll be standard.
Okay. Interesting. Is this only for servers, or is it for...
So far, it says for servers.
First, home market.
Yeah. Advantages of the 2.5 drives, ability to create higher data density in small areas, and they require half the power, the 3.5-inch drives, and will generate 70% less heat.
And it's faster than most of the...
Scalability...
Home stuff.
Well, another advanced scalability with parallel SCSI, there's a limit of 14 drives on a shared 320 meg blah 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 bus. With SAS, as many as 128 drives can be shared on a single bus.
Okay, so...
So it's a lot better.
All right, Slick, you got something or you want me to go on?
You could go on.
All right, I got something. It's pretty gonna piss off a lot of people, but it's called Bringing Outsourcing Home.
Bringing Outsourcing Home?
Yeah. Well, closer to home, anyway. These two California guys are trying to make what they call the code boat. They want to bring a cruise ship, pretty much, to the shores of the United States.
Didn't we mention that last week?
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Right. And then pretty much bring people in and out to the States. Did we mention this last week?
Yes,
yes, we did.
I talked about the tidal wave hitting the cruise ship, and then while they
plan. Well, I'm so sorry. I'm using old news then.
Again, nerd seed sick.
Anyway, we're almost finished with this. We have about 2 minutes left. Anybody have any shout-outs?
No.
I can never think of it in time. I always forget.
Honest. You always forget.
Shout out to that alarm clock you can punch and throw at people.
That's a shout out.
Shout out to the people who made it, because that's definitely something I would love.
We need a free gift.
Shout out to Seth MacFarlane for Family Guy being back.
Yeah. Jeez.
Well, I had it.
Wow. They chose Fox.
Anyway. That's I'm going to shout Ghostless, who is in the room.
Oh, I thought we said we were going to do that.
Yeah.
I had to. Freak Factor, which was on this past Saturday night. It was amazing. I was on there. I was like idling on the conference most of the time, had my phone muted, just listening to like
what
Lucky.
And,
yeah.
Laughing hysterically, and hopefully no one.
Anyway, the last ones I'm going to shout out before playing you guys a song. That song would be... trying to remember the name of the thing.
It's the one off of...
It's the one on phonelosers.org by Rob T. Firefly.
There you go.
It's an awesome mix of the Conscience, whatever the name of the
parody
song was,
of Guilty
by Eminem.
Conscience.
Yeah, Guilty Conscience. Guilty Dieters, the name of this one. It's like, it's got some interesting lyrics about, like, phone freaking and whatnot.
Give it away, why don't you?
So, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I mean... Hacker related, phone related somewhat, so why the hell not, right?
Please.
And of course, if you're listening to this on DDP Hack Radio, up next is Stank Dog with Binary Revolution Radio.
All right.
Take care.
Ta ta.
Peace.
Meet Dieter, 17 years old. Fed up with having to pay outrageous amounts on his long distance bill, he decides to steal calls from the phone company. But as he picks up the phone, he has a sudden change of heart. And suddenly, his conscience comes into play.
Alright, stop. Now before you pick up the cord of this rotary phone and try to enter your stolen codes, you better think of the consequence.
Who are you?
I'm your motherfucking conscience.
That's nonsense. Pick up the handset and dial the number to Target. Ask for an outside line and they'll divert you to Everett. What? Tell your friend for hours how your fraudulent scam went. Explain to him how to set up conferences doing the same shit.
Yeah, but if it all connects through like it's supposed to, you still done the shit from your home phone and they can trace you. Think about it. Before you break the first rule of always freaking from a payphone or a cellular, damn fool.
Fuck that. SBC will never figure it out. Don't you think they got more important things to worry about than one kid using some old ass scam to misroute his phone calls just to give his homies a free shout out?
Nah, don't even try it. It's not worth it to risk jail. You're gonna get nailed. Just send your friend an email. You can listen to this guy. He don't know what he's talking about.
You better shut the hell up before I pop you in the mouth.
Several months later, our friend Dieter has discovered 2600 Magazine. After reading an old article on Redboxing, he builds a tone dialer Redbox and heads to a payphone to make a call. Once again, his conscience comes into play.
Now listen to me, you gotta reprogram this gadget with 5 short beeps to fool the payphone like magic. Now all you gotta do is dial up random numbers in Sydney.
Yo, don't you realize what you're doing is a felony? You shouldn't trick the operators, man, it's just not fair.
Hey, you really think the fucking operators care? All the phone lines are just opened up and sitting there. No one loses any money when you scan those corporate bears.
Man, ain't you ever seen that one hacker movie?
Nah, but I seen that retarded one with Angelina Jolie.
Shit, you're gonna end up sitting in jail.
I doubt it. PLA2 says this is safe and never fails.
Ah, man, it feels good to be home.
Meet Neil Roberts, a 39-year-old real estate agent. After arriving home from a hard day at the office, he finds Dieter in his backyard with a telephone plugged into his TNI box.
All right, man. Let's sit down with this kid and have a talk.
Fuck that shit. You just caught this punk in your phone box. While you're at work, he's making free phone calls. Fuck calling the cops. Knock this little fucker's head off.
Wait, what if there's a rational explanation for this?
What? He works for the phone company? He's just fixing up your shit?
Okay, maybe that's not what's happening. But go easy on him, man. He's just a little kid.
Okay, thought about it. Still want to grab him? Hold the little fucker upside down? Kick him and laugh at him? Bloody his nose and shove that orange phone up his ass? drag him to the road, throw him in front of the next car to pass?
Man, just call the police. This boy needs help. It isn't gonna do any good just to send him to hell.
Shit, man, how would you feel if you were Neil? Seeing this fucker's 900 numbers all over your phone bill? Trying to convince the phone company that they're not real? All this little motherfucker does is go around and steal.
Okay, you're right. Grab a piece of phone wire, Neil. Let's show this little retard how a good strangling feels.
Damn the PLA.